This morning to introduce to you a friend who's been a friend of Faith Christian Center for many, many, many years, as long as I can remember. He's a man of God. The anointing of God is upon him to go into the prisons and change lives in the prison. And there's a great reward ahead for him and for you, because you've been a part of it, and you've been, he's our minister in the prisons.
That's right.
And missionary. Yeah, thank you. He's our missionary to the prisons, and many lives have been changed, and you're a part of it. And what a great privilege it is to introduce to you Nick Provolos.
Praise God.
Thank you. Okay, praise the Lord. We're on. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And let there be voice.
Yes.
That's good. Who would rather be in the house of the Lord than in the best prison in Ohio? Let me see your hand. Yeah, I'd rather be in the house of the Lord too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Unless you're ministering. Anyway, just came from a long trip, a pretty tough trip. A very tough trip, but it started, in the middle of the month? It ended just a while. It ended Monday? Tuesday? A few weeks, yeah. I'd been gone for a few weeks, and we had a chance to minister, and we've seen souls saved. But, you know, but the nice thing about this is that this church, this body, is touching lives. Not only in here in America, I mean, in seriously, just all over. You are reaching out to different countries, you know, and so on, and you don't even know that. But because you make it possible. You know, when you say, I am one of your missionaries, I'm your home missions, and prison ministry is a rewarding ministry, believe it or not. That's one of the things that the Lord commands us to do. He commands us to go to the prisons. You know, he says, when did you see me hungry? When did you see me sick or a stranger? When did you see me in prison? But as you do it to the least one of these, my brothers, you have done it as unto me. And believe you me, you're doing it. And praise God for that. I wish all the churches that would take that to heart, to reach out beyond the boundaries, you know, reach out to the lost, to the homeless, to the streets, and to the widow, to the fatherless. And that's what the ministry of Inside Out Ministries is all about. It's not just, it is, somebody says, what would you like to have on your tomb for, you know, to say about you? And the thing is, that song says, you know, mending broken lives, mending broken people, removing pain. That's what the ministry of Inside Out is all about, is reaching out and touching that. Now, here's a 90-year-old a person wrote a letter some time ago, but I want you to listen to it just for a moment. Dear Dottie, it says, I remember you and Nick during the Catherine Kuhlman days. Now, that's going back in the 70s. Catherine Kuhlman, of course, was a worldwide known, renowned evangelist, and the Lord really touched her. Through her, a lot of lives were touched and healed. I will be 90 years of age. I had open heart surgery 6 months ago. 1 month later, I broke the main bone in my chest. I had seven serious infections. I was in the hospital for 5 weeks. The infections were caused by someone's negligence. Three doctors told me I would need more surgery. So far, I'm doing good, healing nicely. I am trusting Jesus, no more surgeries. One doctor told me I was too old and there was no hope for me. A few weeks later, that doctor had a stroke. He is up in years himself. I'm into prophecy for over 50 years, and I know what the future holds and who holds the future and for the lost souls. I just read the book. Nick, you are doing a great work. You are reaching the ones no one else could or would ever try. Listen to this. This is what touches me. I am on a, and since $10, okay? $10. Now, to a lot of people, that's nothing but a McDonald's sandwich or a sandwich at a fast food. You know, it's not a lot of money, okay? $10. But listen how she gives it. That really touched me. You're reaching the ones no one else could or would even try. I'm on a very small income, Social Security. AARP is only $290 a month. Everything has gone up. You know, but still sends that $10. The widow's mite. May Jesus bless you both and the ministry. And her name is Anna May. Remember her in your prayers. Would you do that?
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it is that any amount of money really helps the ministry a lot. But our ministry is 45 years old or so. And never has God ever got us to the point where we have to either say this or we shut the doors or, if this doesn't come in, we can't pay the bills. Brother, in all the years that I've been, even when I was in prison doing time, listen, you know, for some of you, how many of you never heard me before? Let me see your hands. You all have heard me, right? So you know that the Lord came into my life and I really reached out to him while I was in prison. You notice I didn't say I found the Lord because the Lord was never lost, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I was lost and I was the prodigal.
Yeah.
And I knew all about him, but I just denied living his way, you know, in the way that the Word of God says.
Yeah.
Until I was in prison. And to tell you, I started writing letters to a lot of my ex-buddies, you know, and friends and telling them how Jesus changed my life. And back in those days, the stamps cost 9 cents before they went to 13 cents. But let me tell you something. In prison, if you worked, you only made 3 cents an hour. If you worked. Actually, you made 6 cents an hour. 3 cents went to your go-home fund, and 3 cents went into your commissary fund. That means you can buy toothpaste, toothbrushes, or whatever, you have, razors, because you have to... But yeah, the important things that you need. And so why did you buy... So a lot of times... And I write to a lot of people, and I ask for nothing. I just want to bless them, you know. But, you know, somebody will come up to me and say, hey, the Greek, he says, would you give me a stamp? My wife wrote me a Dear John letter, and I can't. I'll give him a stamp, you know, out of my heart. And then later on, you say, I got over him, you know, that sucker, you know, a sucker, he wanted his stamp. I give it as unto the Lord. You know, I give it as unto the need that I saw before me.
That's right.
But before mail call was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be a sister that maybe I haven't heard from a long time will send me a roll of stamps. Give one stamp away, you get a roll of stamps back. I mean, that's pretty good odds, don't you think? You know, but I noticed one thing, that everything I ever, even from the moment when that Hell's Angel took my Bible with him. You remember that story in my book? That this guy, you know, let me refresh it to you. You know, we both were in the hospital in Columbus, the Ohio Penitentiary, and I was released because I did not want to get the operation. I told them that Jesus healed me, and they just couldn't believe it. Here they were going to do exploratory surgery on me and ask me to donate my organs to science. And I'm telling them the Lord touched me and he healed me, which he did. You know, and so I was handcuffed to this Hell's Angel. And that night we had to spend the night together because it was too late for us to go into our regular pods that we belong to, or floors that we belong to. And I talked to him about the Word of God all day long. I talked to him all night long. I told him what the Lord done in my life in the Ohio pen and how he healed me. I didn't even know how to witness to the about the Lord. But I was using four-letter words in there that you would not find in the Bible or in the dictionary. You know what I mean? And one pastor friend of mine just passed away in Florida. He and his cousin wrote a bunch of hymnals, hymns in the hymnal book of the Church of God. And they even named at Lee College, they even named part of the college for him. You know what I mean? Leon Ellis is his name. And when I first started preaching for him, he was so kind, and he was so kind because I use words in the church that I shouldn't have used. Just like Brother Ed, sometimes he used to watch me preach and I would say things off and he'll go, only Nick. And he got away with it. I did not know that were bad words. I did not know you can't use them in the church. I thought they were okay. That was the kindest word that I knew, that I can use. And he would take me to the side. This pastor would take me to the side and says, "Now, Nick, instead of saying we can't use you anymore, we're too busy next year to have you, he would say, that word means this and this and that. And I don't mean to use those words, And of course you learn, Anyway, I'm telling this Hell's Angel. I'm telling him about Jesus and so on, and he wanted to take my Bible, and that was the Bible that was given to me by that little Mexican that led me to the Lord, And I thought the only book in my life that I read from cover to cover while I was on death row, because that's where they put me after. You got to read the book why I was there, and that was the only book I read from cover to cover, and it was mine. I mean, my first book that I ever read, and I didn't want to give it to no one, And he pleaded and he pleaded with me, and he. I gave it to him to read it, and he was supposed to give it to me when he was through with it. And I thought it would be, but he got paroled the next day. Yeah. He got like what they call shock probation, and he took my Bible with him. I wanted to kill that man. Yeah. Because I thought it was the only Bible in the whole institution. Yeah. I'm serious what I'm saying. Because I never went to orientation. I did not know they had a chaplain. I didn't even know they had a chapel. I did not know that there were other Christians in this prison yet. I was just brand new. I was just a brand new babe in Christ. And I wanted to kill this guy. The reason I'm telling you all this is that now I needed the Bible. And I did not know how to get one. And where am I going to get one? But my God shall supply you need according to his riches and glory. So I was given a new cell to go to a new home, like we say, where I was going to live. Because the night before, this man got out and he took my Bible. Now I'm by myself and they were going to put me in my assigned home, as we say. And as I went into my cell and heartbroken because of that, it was a new workers' Bible, Christian workers' Bible. I will never forget that. And I was so sad. And I'm thinking what I would like to do to that Hell's Angel that stole my Bible. And I'm looking around that room was no bigger than some of your bathrooms. Some of your bathrooms are even bigger. And there were two bunks, one hanging from the wall, and the one was on the ground. And I guess the person that was there before me that lived in the top bunk, somehow the bed was not straight, leaning against the wall. So he had taken a Gideon Bible to put it in there so he can make his bed even. And there was the Bible that God... See, I believe in all that. I believe that when we started building our office, out of our pocket. Not one penny came out of our pocket. It was all donated. When we printed. When we print, not, always donated. Every single time that there was a need, God always took care of that need. And He still takes care of that need.
Amen.
If you're true to Him, He'll be true to you.
That's right.
Now, you know, if you be stingy with Him, you'll receive stingy.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you think you're pulling something over Him, you are going to be pulled over.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know? Now, He takes sometimes our dollars and... I was in the reason I'm telling you all this because God will supply your needs according
Amen.
To His.
Thank you, Lord.
I was in Sturgis, Michigan, getting ready to preach, and the preacher sitting next to me, and he says to me, "You know, what is some of your biggest needs that you need?" I says, "We need a roof in our office. I mean, the office was built 30 some years ago, and we needed a roof. The roof is." Finally, we needed a roof. He says, I says, pray for that. And the praise team was praising the Lord and whatever. And he turns to me and says to me, "You got your roof." Just like that. He says, "I'll make sure you're going to get your roof." I did not know that he was a manager of a DOI, whatever they call it, do-it-yourself thing, you know, like a Lowe's or whatever you call it, like a Home Depot. He was the manager of that. And he says, "Come and pick up your, give us the measurements and it will be cut. We'll give you a metal roof. It will be good for 50 years or more, you know."
You,
I says, but what I'm trying to say to you, ever since that I had turned completely over and say, "Here am I, melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me." It's not always being peaches and cream. It's been some rough areas. But my God says, "Hey, trust me with all your heart. And don't lean onto your own stupid understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways, and I shall supply. I will direct thy path." And He will. And He will. Turn your Bible and say, oh, by the way, if those of you that my wife is with me, and I thank the Lord because she doesn't always travel with me. And she only comes around where it's only 100 and some miles, you know, or less. That she would travel with me. And I thank the Lord for that because I met her in prison. And I think it was 42 years later and we're still together. Praise God.
Amen.
Before I wouldn't even stick with a woman more than 42 days. Turn your Bibles, if you have one, to Samuel chapter 17, real quick. Oh, by the way, I asked our brother, I says, "How long can I preach?" He says, "As long as you want." I says, "Well, the thing is, you don't know who you're talking to. You know, because as long as I want a long time." But he says, around 11:30 or so. So I would, I'm trying to keep it as short as I can. And as the Lord puts it, and then I will be watching you. And if you get fidgety, I'll stop in the middle of everything. But you won't. Because we're going to have a great time in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just praise the Lord. And Lord, as we get serious, real serious now, Lord, we pray that you give us understanding. Lord, that you prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. And when we leave this place, we can say it was good. Not only to hear with our ears, but to hear with our hearts and obey. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the name of our Lord and Savior. That powerful name, that wonderful name, that sweet name, Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to do battle. And we're together to do battle. The name of the place is Shanok, which belonged to Judah. And verse 2 says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, the Israelites stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, of God, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. A greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye are servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the reason I chose this again this morning is that I know I share this sermon, but every time I share this sermon, I see something different that the Lord speaks to me. This is why it's good, you know, even though you read the Word of God over and over, you find out that He speaks to our spirits and our hearts, and we see things a little bit just different. Yeah. You know, you remember the sermon's title is Death to the Giant. And I mean that, death to the giant. I mean, who is this Philistine that is defying, that is making fun of God Almighty? But, you know, when the people saw him, what did they see? They saw someone, when they saw Goliath, they saw someone much taller than me. As a matter of fact, if you take another of me and stick him on my shoulders, now think about this. Have one like me up my shoulders. He was taller than that. As a matter of fact, sometimes take three of me. Three of me. Can you imagine watching three of me standing on top of each other? And this guy was even taller. Can you imagine that? What they saw. And he says that his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. The reason I'm saying all that, what did they see? You know, we were at the church in Pastor on the east side. We were his.
You were French?
Yeah, French. It used to be a Presbyterian church, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Years ago. This is in the beginning of our ministry, and I've been preaching to them ever since. But somebody came and gave me $104 worth of half a dollars. They were not silver, but they were half dollars. They gave me a plastic bag of $104 of just coins. And I try to lift them, and I think to myself, man, that's pretty heavy. And there was only $104, which should have been double. Would have been how many coins? 50 cents of 100. It would be 50 some.
280.
And, yeah. Okay. So it would have been. Can you imagine, though, the weight of those things? I tried that. You know, you ever trying to do that? You know, a roll of quarters and two rolls of. But can you imagine having 5,000 silver dollars melt and wearing them? 600 coins melted down to make just his spear. 104, and I couldn't do it. $104 out of $104, it would have been 208 coins. Can you imagine 5,600? So all they saw was a walking rhinoceros. That's what they saw. They saw an armadillo. I mean, they saw a Sherman tank. That's what they saw. And they all began to be afraid when they saw three of me on top of each other. And they were afraid.
Yeah.
And so scared. And of course, you know, you'll notice that the brothers of David are mentioned there. All three of them are mentioned there because they were fighting for Israel. But the only time that they were mentioned was right here. Just right here, they were mentioned no more. But David was mentioned all the way through the Revelations.
That's right.
Why? Because he chose God.
That's right.
And God chose him.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he was a shepherd. Of course, we all know that. And he took care of the sheep. And some of the greatest psalms were written by him underneath the stars there. You know, the beautiful stars sitting there. Some of the greatest, you know, he that walk in the shadow of death, he'll fear no evil.
That's right.
Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me.
Amen.
I mean, think about some of the things that he said, you know, and some of the great proverbs that he wrote down.
Yeah.
I praise and thank God. But he's a shepherd, and his father says to him, hey, here's some cheesecakes. Are we having cheesecake?
No.
No. I love cheesecake. But take the cheesecakes and take it to your brother, you know, and find out how the war is going on. Now, we all know the story very well, you know. We know the stories very well. And when he got there, they began to make fun of him because his own father said, the prophet asked him, is this all your children? And he says, no, I have another one. He's the youngest and he's out there. He's a dreamer. He's a songwriter and he's a dreamer. He says he's taking care of the sheep. And of course, he was anointed.
Yes. Here we go.
Jesse's house was anointed by David. Amen?
Yeah.
And praise the Lord for that. That he was anointed of God to be the king. But think about it. He did not only choose, God chose him, but he chose God. And I kind of like that. The Lord says he's a man after my own heart.
That's right.
I kind of like that too. I don't see why, you know, sometimes when he sees me, you know, I'm nothing but a rascal. Back then, the olden days, you know, I was one of his rascals. I was the ones who always got myself in trouble. I knew about him, but I never believed in my heart that he can do all the things that I heard about until I met him. And I know that when he touched me, I've never been the same ever since. And that's exactly what happened with David. When David began to, and they were making fun of him, his brothers, what did you come out here to do? Come here to make fun of us? Did you come here to see what the big boys are doing? That's what he was saying. Did you come here to see what the big boys are doing? Look at our uniform. Doesn't look good. It's Pierre Cardin. You know what I mean? Or whatever, you know. I mean, think about it. You know, some people are like that, you know. Some people are like that. You mean to tell me, you know, how much I know, you know.
Yeah.
But David began, he said, well, did you see this giant? And David says, I heard his voice. I heard and I've noticed that all of you are afraid. But you forgot who we are.
Amen.
He says, you guys forgot who we are. We are God's chosen people.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
We are God's chosen people. We are the apple of his eye.
Yes. Amen.
Don't you remember what he did? He brought us out of Egypt. And for 40 years, he watched over us. That our clothes and our sandals and so on, I mean, they were not torn up. But
right.
He even took care of that too. Where did they get all that wood to cook that food in the desert? It was nothing but a desert. Where'd you get all that water to feed their horses, their camels, their sheep, their goats? Where did they get all that water to cook their food or bathe in the desert? God took care of them. You forgot who we are and whose we are.
That's right.
But that's what's happening with our church today.
Yeah, sure.
The church today gets too comfortable in their, and too comfortable in their...
Come on.
I don't want to get into all that right now, time-wise, too. But I want you know, don't be so comfortable. Get out of your comfortable zone. You know, and know who you are and whose you are.
That's good. That's right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Who is this Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised heathen that's going to come and Doesn't he know who we are and whose we are? Doesn't he know that our God, there is no other God but him?
Right.
You know, now, don't get me wrong, because the biggest weapon that the enemy has is doubt. Doubt and fear.
Yep.
That's the biggest weapons that he has. He will come to you, sign, swap you without you blind spot.
Yep.
You at least expect it. And when you hear that giant, you crumble up.
Yeah.
Oh, cancer. Cancer. Doctor says I'm not going to make it. 6 months. What do you do when that giant comes and tells you you have sugar diabetes? What do you do when the doctor tells you you got only a few weeks to go? No, don't get me wrong. God uses doctors and God uses hospitals.
Yeah.
I believe that. Yeah. But what do you do when you hear that?
All right, go to God.
I mean, oh man, I'm dying. You know how long I should be dead? I should have been dead in 1972. I should have been dead. The hospital here, Riverside Hospital, wanted me to donate my organs to science because there was no hope for me. I says, well, he's dying anyhow. My shoulders, my thighs, my rear end was so hard. It was like a baseball. You couldn't get a needle inside of me. When the needle hit me on the sides here, my flesh was so hard that the needle bent. They were shooting me with that blue morphine, they called it. And instead of using the long needles, they used little short needles and then go through the muscle. It made the muscle so hard that I could hardly move. I was constantly in pain. They shoot me in the rear end with something, and I sit there for hours trying to get that stuff going into my body because they were using the wrong kind of needles or some stuff that I never knew what they were doing. But by this time, I got saved, and I wasn't afraid. By this time, I would start believing God's word. And I didn't get afraid. I don't care what the doctors were saying. For me, I knew that I was missing hell. And I was not going to hell. And I thank and I praise God that I wasn't going to go to hell.
That's right.
At that time, that's what I thought.
Yep.
For me to die is gain. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I heard many stories as a little boy. You know, how people die. You know, they confessed him and so on. And they did. And they went to be with the Lord. And I wanted to be with the Lord. But I believe that story. That if I was to die, I would be with the Lord. You know, so but what do we do now? Even now, my wife and I, sometimes we are talking and we see those giants and when that fear comes, you know, she'll say something. I says, well, wait a minute. We don't think like that. You know, no, it's not that the enemy is not going to come. He's going to come for sure, especially if you claim in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to come to you in the front lines. I remember that same sister, they used to pray. You know, in the Greek Orthodox Church, it's a little bit different than what we used to hear today. In the Greek Orthodox Church, you know, if you have a loved one sick, dying, you go to church, you give a bigger check this time to the offering to let them know that, let God know you mean business and that you're sincere. You're sacrificing. You bring in a sacrifice before God. And then some take off their rings, their earrings, and they put them on the icons of the Blessed Virgin. And they will say to her, please, our brother is in Ohio State Penitentiary in the intensive care. He's dying. Please, please talk to your son, Jesus, that he might send Luke, that he's the doctor. It will come to the Ohio State Penitentiary to touch our brother Nick and make it a little easier for him. It doesn't always like that, but it's something like that. To talk to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to talk to her son Jesus, to go to Luke, the doctor, that he might come in the intensive care and touch me. And then we'll not burn the 25-cent candles. They will not burn the dollar candles. They will burn the $5 and $10 candles to show God that they're sincere. They're sacrificing. They were sincere. Not that To them, this is the way they were brought up. This is the way I was brought up. To sacrifice something to force God's hand. That God might see that I mean good, that my meaning is good, that I mean well, and God, and please don't get me wrong, you know, there will be a lot of Greek Orthodox in heaven because they're sincere. Sincerely wrong, but sincere, okay? But in their hearts, they were sincere. And that's what my sisters used to do. Please, we want our brother to live. Please, God, touch him. And soon as the Lord touched me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, this says, oh, my Lord, he became a Jehovah's Witness. He left our tradition. He left our church. He became a holy roller. He became a pool jumper. A booth jumper. What, Lord, instead of praising the Lord that I'm living, we make fun sometimes. Or we see a brother come to the altar over and over. I wonder how long is this going to last this time. Well, they were making fun of me too, just like that. And as soon as I come out, hey, Pope, come here. Bless this turkey and turn it into a chicken, would you? They were making fun of me because I will go to the family unions, and we'll go to the family dinners and so on. And I will never forget this. I will never forget this, but my barber and a good friend of mine, not only me, but he used to cut hair for all the big boys of downtown Cleveland, Ohio. His name is Amer Schaub. You might even know him because Amer Schaub was one of the greatest barbers around at the time. And when I used to go get my hair cut, and I would tell Amer, listen, you better give me a good haircut or, and I'll take my gun and I'll put it on. And then I would take my gun and put it on the counter. Then I would take my gun and I'll put it on the counter. And of course, that didn't bother him. But what I'm saying, he knew that I'm wanting a good haircut for all of them. And he knew the family that I worked for, that we were all in the underworld. We were all in stupidity. We were all in darkness. Guess what? Then he reads in the newspaper that I got saved. He hears me on the radio. He hears my testimony. He couldn't believe it. Nick the Greek got saved. Wow, I didn't know God. And he's a Lebanese guy. I mean, this, but you know, he saw the sincerity. And he owned a campground. Right, used to be exit 9 in the Ohio Turnpike. Right, Crystal River Campground. Crystal Springs Campground. Thank you for Crystal Springs Campground. And he got saved. He went all the way to Florida, got ordained. I mean, went to a Bible college, got ordained as a minister. He turned part of his campground into a church, you know, where, and then he'll pick up all the homeless or the poor people on Tuesdays and so on, and he will feed them, and those that could afford it, $1 a plate. He'll charge them $1 a plate if they can afford it. Okay? The rest of them ate for free. So he asked me to give my testimony. I said, man, I'd be more than happy to give my testimony. I told my family, brothers and sisters, you come to hear me speak, I'll buy you all lunch. Yeah. Dinner. I'll buy all of you dinner. The dollar plate, you understand? Yeah. But I'll buy for all of you. At that time, I was making $56.55 a week working for Teen Challenge. I will never forget this. And, I mean, everybody showed up. My sisters, their husbands, their nephews, you name it, they all came to hear me and eat the food there too. And as I'm sharing my testimony, and I'm getting into something like this, I hope I'm not boring you. And as I'm getting ready to give my testimony, and I'm in the middle of the Lord says, pray for the sick. Pray for the sick? Lord, my family would not understand this. I mean, pray for the sick. Have you ever seen an Orthodox priest? Any of you? Have you seen an Orthodox priest? And they don't wear no ties and suits. They wear exactly what Aaron wore. And in order for him, the robes, the girdle, the inner garments, the outer garments, have to be exactly what Aaron wore. You know, he starts early in the morning, like about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, dressing, and every piece with prayer he puts on. And by the time it's 12 o'clock, he puts on the cape. So it takes him that long just to get dressed. So you can see the beauty of that garment that he's wearing. And they're a beautiful garment. They would understand me with a tie on and a suit on, praying for the sick.
Yeah.
And where did I get my license?
Yeah. Where's your papers?
Where's my license? Where's my me praying for the sick? What anointing would do me praying or anointing with oil? I have no authority. I have no papers from no one. You know, no one can claim me, you know, that I went through their school. But praise God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, Lord, and the Lord says, now. Now, you don't argue with God. And I know the voice, and I know his voice very well, and he says, come. And I told the people, I says, how many of you, I mean, you believe that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Would you come? And it says, and receive whatever your heart's desire this very moment. God is for you. He's not against you. Would you come? And it was like watching a huge tsunami coming at me. Whoa. From the, and I'm talking about quite a few hundreds of people were coming for. And there was, and in line, I'm not the only one in line. One, I mean, there were like this in lines, you know. And when I pray for people, my eyes are shut. And I pray for people because I want to know my heart. God is speaking to my heart what to pray for. And I always pray with my eyes shut. And I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to tell me what to pray for. At the moment as I'm touching the person. And the next person and the next person. And as I'm praying for, all of a sudden, my eyes got caught. Something on this side of me. And I looked, and there's my sister. And she's like this. I mean, she wanted to be, at this time, she wanted to be religious. I mean, she couldn't have anybody. She wanted to be humble. And she was not a very humble woman. I mean, she was the mouth of the whole family. You understand? She was the mouthpiece for the whole family. She was this little, but, you know, dynamite and nitroglycerin comes in small packages. You know? And Maria was it. You know what I mean? And she's standing like this. And when I looked at her, I go to her, what do you want, Maria? She says, Cleveland Clinic says I only have a few months to live. Colostomy and cobalt treatments. That's what Cleveland Clinic said to me. 1976, 75, 76, 76. They told her she only has just a few months to live. And if she was to have cobalt treatments. She died 2 months ago from 1976.
Wow.
Was it? No, not 2 months ago. Was it too
long ago?
Not too long ago. Oh, she died. Anna died the Easter, the Passover. Maria died right after that. You know, two or three weeks later or something like that, a month or so later. What I'm trying to, death to the giant.
Yes.
Death to the giant, not to you. But please pray for me. My blood, my sugar, my. She, the other day, we took her to the ER. Over 200, her heart beat. 200. And I'm rebuking Satan in front of, one woman is 200 and some. 200. 100, and all of a sudden, 160, 80, 100.
Uh-huh.
Man, we started rebuking Satan. I said, look, hey, we are in the palm of his hand. You understand? Amen. Even the doctor didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Finally, he says there's a short in her electricity or something. What did he say?
The electric part of the heart, not the plumbing.
Yeah.
He says, nothing wrong with the plumbing, the electrical part. No, the Satan part.
Yeah.
Send him back where he belongs in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
No, for me to live is Christ. So when the enemy comes along and bounces and shows them, say, I know who I am. I know whose I am.
Amen.
Do you understand this? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes.
Because in the name of Jesus, you got to plead the blood and say, hey, you the loser, we are, and I am victorious. We're the ones that's going to stand over you and we're going to make fun of you. Well, who you think you are?
That's right.
Who do you think you are? This is why the man of God, maybe they thought he was nuts. His brothers thought he was nuts. His brothers thought he was a dreamer. But you know what? They all began to believe.
Yes.
Why? Because he stood and stood fast.
Yes.
What am I, a dog that you sent this little boy after me with a slingshot? What am I, a dog? But today your head is required.
Yes.
To the enemy, that's what I need to say.
Yes.
So when the enemy comes along and boasts and comes along with his showing his teeth in his anger. Say, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. You don't know what I just went through this past trip. It was one of the hardest trips that I've been on in a long, long time. And when you're 70 years old, you know, the body doesn't take it like it used to.
Yeah.
But you know the tricks of the enemy if you're in tune with God.
That's right.
You will know his tricks and know that it is not of God, that is of the enemy, and the Lord wants you to go on. Yeah, just like Jesus, he sweat and he sweat blood. He felt the pain, but he went on.
Yeah.
I want you to know, he went on. He chose to do what was right. And I told Daddy, I says, man, this has been tough. This is a very tough trip. You know, financially, spiritually, and everything else was a very tough trip in a long, long time. But you see, we are overcomers.
Amen.
You know, so when he comes, we're not to look at the helmet that he's wearing, or how tough he really is, and the 6 months to live, or the your blood sugar so this and that. And no, don't look at that. You know what they say? Today I will serve the Lord. Today I will serve the Lord.
That's right.
Today. Now tomorrow comes, I'll serve the Lord.
That's right.
I'll serve the Lord. Give me the strength to go. I don't know if I'm going to be here another 10 minutes from now. All I do know is that I'm here right now praising the Lord and magnifying his holy name. For he is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
And he is worthy to be praised.
Yes.
So what is your fear? What is your fear? Death to the giant. Just remember, we are the apple of his eye. I forgot to mention to you, When I was a little, sweetheart, how old are you?
Seven.
Are you married? Good. Stay unmarried for another week or two. Amen. You'll be all right. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of young people remember me when they were their age.
Yeah.
Now they have children of their own and say, boy, I remember when you used to pick on me. And
yeah.
But they don't forget you.
No.
They don't forget. When I stepped on her son, the first time I slept at their house, I had to do something. And everybody was sleeping on the floor. Except for me. They gave me their bed. Isn't that something?
Yeah. That's right.
And I had to get up and whatever, you know. And I just stepped all over. And they will never forget that. But they know that I love God.
Yeah, they do.
Amen.
Yes, they do.
When I was your age, I had chores to do. Over there, you were never seven. You know, because when you're about 4 or 5 years old, you have chores. Believe it or not, you have chores. And my chore was to take the goats out and feed them. Sometimes in the summer, I have to stay out there for hours at a time to take care of the goats and the donkey and to feed them. And so I can almost see a little bit of what David must have went through, because there's wild animals out there. Man, I'm scared. I mean, to this very day, when I walk out in my backyard, I carry a stick with me. You know what I mean? Just in case. You know, because we got red fox, we got coyotes, we got all this kind of stuff, you know, and deer and so on. So I take a little stick with me, you know, a rod, you know, a big one, you know. Anyway, I don't know why I'm still going through all this, but I would sometimes spend hours out there, but sometimes in fear. Because you hear what a wolf had done to a sheep, or what a wolf had done to a goat or a small kid. And I'd be scared. And mom used to say to me, now listen, don't be scared. And when you see something real bad, always say, Jesus Christ wins over all evil. And, you know, and whatever it is, believe it in your heart, and it will flee from you. Well, you know what? I used to do that all the time. I said, Jesus. And he says, when you see their stomach get big, that means if the goat's stomach gets blown out, bring them home. That means they had enough. So I was pretty clever. You know, I would take them out, feed them for maybe 35 minutes, and then I'd take them to the creek and let them fill up with water. And I watch their stomach get big, then I bring them home. You know what I mean? Because I'd be afraid, you know, with my slingshot or whatever I had. I identify a little bit. I identify just a little bit with him. But you know, some of the greatest times that I had with God was those few hours that I'd sometimes, you know, be talking to him and sometimes, you know, just glorifying his name. You know, the more I talk now, the more I become like my mother. She's all the time praising the Lord, glorifying God. Every morning, she, you know, when we wake up, you know, that's all she hears me will say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. Worthy to be praised. Glory to your name. You are mighty God. You are mighty. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And that's what David, exactly what he did. And out of that, he got not only his household was free of all taxes and all that. That's what he says. He also married the princess. You know, he also married Saul. Because Saul says to him, you know, son, take my armor and go fight the enemy. And he says, I can't. Now, I'd like to insert this in about another minute or two. Many of us, as I travel around, we forget our when we meet God, our, I'm looking for the right word, what happened in there. We forget how we met him. And let me find the right word and I will share it with you. But we try to maybe get in with somebody else's experience. And we cannot do that. We cannot fight the enemy with somebody else's suit.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, we got to have our own encounters.
There you go.
Amen. Encounter. That's the word I was looking
That's right.
for.
Amen.
You know, you can't do it with somebody else's.
Yes, that's right.
You got to have your own relationship.
That's right.
I and him and he and me.
Amen.
And together we are mighty.
Amen. That's right.
We are mighty. Amen. Do you know him? Do you know who we're talking about? It's still morning, so you can say, what's the name of your giant? I think once I shared this with you, I don't remember, but this is an old Greek culture thing, and I did not know it was biblical. But if we did not like somebody and what they said, sometimes we will lift up our shoes right in front of them and write their name in the soles of our shoes, like meaningless, nothing. The enemy is under my foot. The enemy is under my foot. So before you leave here, you name that giant and write him on the bottom of your shoe. Let him know that he is less than nothing. Whatever his name may be, name him. Stick him in underneath your shoe and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah. His blood is still powerful. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
His blood, hallelujah, is still powerful and cleanses and heals and restores.
Amen.
And restores. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You read my newsletter the last time. Seasons change. Our God does not change.
That's right.
Seasons change, but our God is the same. And he's waiting for you and I. I hope I did not bore you this morning. I just want you to know something, that we are heirs and joint heirs. I wanted to exalt you, to let you know who we are.
Amen.
Who we are and what's waiting for us. We become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus our Lord.
That's right.
And we're going to be sitting in his banqueting table.
Amen. That's right.
And have fellowship with him. Do you know
Amen.
Him that way? I got to make sure you know him, or do you allow that fear or the urgencies of the world today, or today's, all the storms that's been going on, people get into those. But Lord, I'm in your hands.
Yeah.
Do you know our Lord watched over us for 40 years? He's not going to do it and let us go now with this Goliath.
That's right.
He provided us. Can you imagine quail? I mean, he gave him quail.
Yeah.
Now, there were over a million and some that left Egypt. Okay? Now, he did not just give them one quail apiece. They ate enough quail that every time they sneezed quail. You understand that? I mean, they ate enough. There was so much quail that was given to them. You understand? He just didn't give them just a little bit. He gave them a whole bunch of any time and anything. If he can be for you, who can be against you? Let's all stand. This morning I was, to tell you the truth, this morning I didn't feel like coming here. Something was holding me back. Yes or no, Dot? And in how many years did I ever said that? How many?
Just a couple.
That's all. This morning the body was so frail and so beat up, spiritually and physically. But you know, the more I was getting down here, and the more I began to think on Him,
yes,
you know, the stronger I got. You better believe it. The stronger I got. It doesn't mean because I'm a preacher I got it all set. And oh man, it doesn't. I'm like a duck. It rolls off of me. No, it doesn't. But then the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord for that Holy Ghost. Because, you know, He says, hey, buddy, aren't you glad you are going? Aren't you glad that you're going? Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. I'm so happy. So I came here full. Now I'm emptied out, pouring out to you to let you know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He loves you.
Yes.
So with your heads bowed, your hearts are open. I'm going to ask, is there someone here this morning that will say, pray for me. I love the Lord with all my heart. But pray for me because lately I've been facing some giants. Would you please pray for me, Brother Nick? All I want to see is your eyes. All our eyes closed, please. And when you, and God bless you for being honest. Honesty is victory. You too. God bless you for being honest. That's all. I've been going through some rough times, financially, physically, spiritually. You too. God bless you. God not only sees your eyes, He sees your heart. And He wants me to tell you He loves you. He knows before you even mention, before you even open up your eyes, He knows what you're going through. He knows that. And I commend you for being obedient enough to say, pray for me, Brother Nick. I'm going through this. And this giant has been after me. Or this giant has showed himself. And he has put this fear in our hearts and in our homes. Anybody else? Do it real quick. You too. God bless you for being honest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Worthy, 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 Lamb of God. You are worthy. Reach out even now, Lord. Just reach out. And Lord, when it looks like it's clean and Lord, like it's all fogged up and we cannot see it very clear, we say right now, peace to that storm that my brothers and my sisters are going through right now. Peace to that storm. And death to that giant. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And Lord, last but not least, we pray for unsaved loved ones in our families right now. We bring them to you at the foot of the cross. And we believe and we claim them for your name's sake, Father, we pray. Lord Jesus, in your name, we break every fetter and chain right now in Jesus' name upon our loved ones. And Lucifer, you're nothing but a liar. You're the father of lies. You take your filthy hands off our loved ones and our families. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, Father, we pray. Now as we are ready to stop, we ask, Lord, that when we leave this place, we don't leave here bound, but we leave here free. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. And amen. I'm going to give it back to you right now. Remain standing for a moment for the benediction or the offering or whatever it's going to be.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Worthy is the Lamb of God.
Death
hallelujah.
To the giant.
Death
to the giant. Those giants don't have a chance against us. Because the anointing and the power of God is on the inside of you. You've got the dynamite of God on the inside of you. And we use that dynamite against the devil, and he has to go. Doesn't have a right. And have any chance of staying. He's got to go.
He's got to go.
Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the anointing that's up on Nick, I just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life. Father, we pray the anointing of God upon him. We pray that you strengthen him in the inner man by your Spirit. Father, that his body is getting stronger and stronger every day, Father. Sickness and disease is bound over him. We declare it unlawful for you to operate against him in Jesus' name. Strengthen his immune system, Lord. And Father, I praise you for the anointing that's upon this family. Father, I praise you that it's increasing more and more every day. And Father, thank you for the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God and give into this ministry. Father, I praise you that this ministry goes far and wide preaching your word. And Father, I thank you that they are good stewards over all that you've given to them. Bless them abundantly, Father. Bless them in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
amen.
Amen and amen.
If you need an envelope, raise your hand.
Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, I brought some of my books with me. If you haven't read the book, you can get one today. And let us know about our literature, and so you'll know a little bit about our ministry. I was going to come back up.
Oh, sorry.
To the church.
Yes.
Yeah, we're making it out to the church. You write a check to the church?
Yes.
For the church?
And then just put for Nick the Greek on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
Death to the giant.
Thank you.
Amen. When the people of Israel came out of Egypt and went into the promised land, I mean, there were giants over there.
Oh, yeah.
And there were people that said, we can't do this. And there's people that said, we can do this. Joshua and Caleb.
Caleb said,
amen. We can go. We can defeat those giants. And out of those 12, they're the only two that entered into the kingdom, into the promised land. Thank you, Father. Moses didn't go either. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Nick's got some books back there that you can take one for free. Got his testimony in there. Too Mean to Die. Are we done? Well, if you'll stand, please, we'll be dismissed. And let me pray over you, and then we'll go down and have fellowship.
Hallelujah.
And eat. One of our favorite things. Well, Father, thank you for this day, and thank you, Father, for the anointing that has been here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, that you've ministered to every one of us. And Father, I pray your protection upon everybody as they leave this place, upon Nick and Dottie as they travel back to Cleveland. And Father, I just praise you for the fellowship that we have down there. And Lord, we sanctify the food. We declare its health to our bodies and nutrition to all of our flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.
One more thing. And Father, we just pray for our pastor. Even though he is absent from us right now, Father, we pray a complete healing. And Lord, restore unto him what the enemy has taken and upon this to this family, what this enemy has taken from this family right now. Restore him, Father, more than ever before. The mind of Christ and the wisdom of Solomon upon him. And Lord, we plead the blood of Christ upon his healing right now. And we receive it. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.